Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. The needs of people with disabilities shouldn't be overlooked just because they're incarcerated. But our next guest is working on the hunch that the rights of that population may be ignored when they enter jails and prisons around Maryland. He has plans to find out if that's true. Combining his longtime advocacy for people with disabilities and his criminal law background, Muneeb Larazbi plans to create the Prisoner Protection and Advocacy Committee. As a 2017 Open Society Institute Baltimore Fellow, Larazbi will receive $60,000 over the next 18 months to begin the work. OSI is a nonprofit that focuses on addressing the needs of Baltimore's underserved communities and supporting innovative solutions to longstanding problems. Working in partnership with Disability Rights Maryland, Larazbi will perform site visits and observe how intake screenings are done. Then he'll compile the data. What will he do with it, and what difference will it make? Muneeb Larazbi is here to tell us. Welcome, Muneeb.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
First, why is this an issue? What challenges might a person with disabilities run up against in the prison system?
Well, this is really a multifaceted problem, and it starts at the very beginning of the process from screening. There are a lot of issues there with under-identification. Folks are coming into the system, and they may have a mental illness, but that's never discovered.
And it is mental disabilities that you're focused on in particular.
Correct. That is the focus, mainly because physical disabilities are more immediately apparent. If somebody comes in with a wheelchair or is blind or something that is immediately apparent to the naked eye, I mean, that's something that has to be dealt with by the system. Whereas someone with a mental illness, that's something that can be more easily hidden. So starting from the screening process all the way to discipline regs, getting medication, and keeping records after the individual gets out or is transferred to a different facility. A lot of the times records either aren't kept or they're not adequately detailed. So just going in and first and foremost making sure that existing laws being enforced will be a focus area for us.
So how will you go about the work of inspecting correctional facilities in the state?
Right. So you mentioned that I'm working in conjunction with Disability Rights Maryland, and they are Maryland's designated protection and advocacy agency. Every state has one, and they're empowered by Congress, very broad authority to go in and physically inspect facilities, to meet individually with inmates in a confidential setting, and to review records.
Disability Rights Maryland's right to do that is established.
Correct. It's called PAMI authority, and PAMI is PAIMI, Protection and Advocacy for Individuals with Mental Illnesses. And what that means is basically the facility can't turn us away. A lot of existing efforts exist to protect prisoners' rights and those with disabilities, but a difference is that those people can just be turned around by a warden. They can show up and, they really have to rely on a warden allowing them access, whereas with us, it's mandated. It's something that, they can't really turn us away. So that's a very unique authority that kind of sets this project apart and is something I'm excited to take advantage of.
But paint a picture for me of then what you'll do with that authority.
So the very first step is we send the facility a letter of notice, and that just tells them what we want. And that's not just access. That could be records. That could be scheduling a time to meet with a particular inmate. And once we list those demands, we send that to the facility. And the statute just says that they have a reasonable time to comply. So that's usually within a 1 month time frame. So once we send that, usually they'll send over the documents. We get a chance to review them in the office because, time in the facilities is very valuable. So once we have that solid foundation, then we actually go into the facilities and we meet with any inmates that may have sent us an intake or may have been referred to us otherwise. And we just talk to them about their personal experience. That's, mainly anecdotal, but those are serve as our leads. And we use that combined with the document reviews, and then we're able to, identify specific areas in the facility to go and physically inspect and make sure that they are in compliance with the law and make sure everything is being taken care of.
So that letter you send and that process is for each individual inmate?
No, it's for each individual facility. So.
And we live in a digital age. Are you able to tape record and collect data that way when you're making these visits?
Yes, so we are able, the statute actually specifically says we are able to take pictures and record video. But that being said, I won't be taking a laptop or anything in. I'll probably just be using my phone to record and take pictures and an old-fashioned pen and legal pad to take some notes.
How many facilities will you visit?
So that's something that both OSI and Disability Rights Maryland has had to talk me down off of. There's roughly 30 facilities in the state of Maryland, ranging from detention centers to halfway houses to full-time prison facilities. But unfortunately, this is only an 18-month fellowship, so I had to narrow down my my selections to about 10.
And what do you hope to observe?
Folks themselves, it's going to be records. It's just going to be day-to-day activities. We're just, you know, in terms of what we're observing, we're just trying to be a fly on the wall. But the goals that we're trying to achieve by the end of this project are threefold. First, we're looking, like I said, to enforce existing law. Two, we're looking to create a reliable set of data for DRM or OSI or any other advocacy organization group. Disability Rights Maryland or any other advocacy agency, really, to have a reliable, hard set of data that can't be disputed by the department or other advocacy groups. Because any data that exists now, if it comes from the state, then advocacy groups, you know, they throw doubt on it. Whereas if it comes from the other side, from the advocacy groups, then it's usually either too limited or from too small of a sample size to really be reliable on a large scale. So this will put out information that will be reliable moving forward. And third, after I'm done inspecting all of these facilities, will be to hold community-based meetings in different parts of Baltimore that are disproportionately affected by criminal justice issues, and to just present my findings and see what they want to see happen, what result they want to see happen. And I'm going to use their feedback to kind of formulate recommendations that will wind up being presented to wardens around the state in these facilities. So the solutions will be grassroots based. They won't just come from me or someone else who hasn't actually have that personal experience.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with OSI fellow Munib Larazbi about the Prisoner Protection and Advocacy Committee, in which he'll monitor the intake screening for prisoners across the state to determine if the needs of prisoners with mental disabilities are being addressed. Tell me more about the community engagement aspect of what you'll be doing.
Right, and the community aspect is very important because, like I mentioned, I don't have any personal experience with this population that I'm seeking to serve. I've never been diagnosed with a mental illness, and I've never been incarcerated. So I don't think it would be right for someone in my position of privilege to kind of thunder in and, you know, say that these are the solutions, and, you know, with no input from someone with that personal experience. So it's very important to me to kind of formulate these solutions on a grassroots level. I see myself as a tool. I have a fairly valuable skill set in that I have a legal education. I do have a background working with prisoners' rights, with disability advocacy. And it's just, I see it as my job to put those skills to work for other people.
How did this idea to take this approach, how did that, the germ of that idea come to you and grow?
Well, I have a fairly long history of disability rights advocacy, stretching back from high school into college. And that kind of turned into a job with the Ability Experience, which is a nonprofit based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, that puts on a cross-country cycling trip every year for that raises money for folks with disabilities. So that was an incredible experience. And that was my first time kind of professionally doing what I enjoyed doing so much in my personal time. So once I did get to law school, I really wanted to find a way to kind of funnel all of that experience into something that I could do as a full-time job. So that kind of turned into a criminal law clinic, which turned into a disability law clinic. And then once I was meeting with my advisor, she pointed me to Disability Rights Maryland. They've hosted a couple of OSI fellows in the past. So speaking with the folks at Disability Rights Maryland, this is something, the type of project they've wanted to get off the ground for years now, but they just haven't had the resources, really. So, like I said, they do have some experience with OSI, so they were able to put us in touch and get that ball rolling.
And how will you measure whether you're successful?
Well, success really wouldn't be black and white with this project because, I mean, I'm sure as you know, policy reform takes years, if not decades. So in 18 months, we're not necessarily going to, you know, shatter the way prison work is done in Maryland. We're just looking for progress. I'm looking to leave the prison system in a better position than where it is now. Like I said, kind of the end goal after these community meetings and after all the inspections is to present these grassroots recommendations to wardens. And so I guess success would be the implementation of our recommendations, whether that be improved screening, whether that be improved access to medications, or reduced time in restrictive housing or solitary confinement. There are a lot of different ways to measure success, but improvement, I guess, would be the best way to phrase it.
Thank you for telling us about it.
All right. Thank you for having me.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Muneeb Larazbi is an Open Society Institute fellow whose project is the Prisoner Protection and Advocacy Committee. Over the next 18 months, he'll monitor intake screening at correctional facilities across the state to determine if the needs of prisoners with disabilities are being addressed. During the next few weeks, we're profiling this year's cohort of 10 OSI fellows, and we'll hear about a variety of projects from addressing food deserts in Baltimore City to the power of music therapy for refugees and asylees. We have a link to the OSI projects at the On the Record page, WYPR.org. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!